Joe was already making hundreds of thousands of dollars. But now with the enactment of Prohibition in January 1920, he saw an opportunity to make even more. The promise of bootlegging beckoned to the quick and the daring, but not to Harvard men. Crime was often a poor man's capital, the quickest and surest way out of the ghetto. Joe, however, lived far from the cusp of poverty and was within reach of the refined Brahmin world where he sought to live. But Joe saw an opportunity. That he saw it and acted upon it is one of the most extraordinary facts of Joe's entire life. His father had for decades been a major wholesaler and importer of liquor, and it was almost certainly through him that Joe had contacts in Canada and England. Testimony suggests that Joe had the best of it, for the most part delivering the merchandise offshore to bootleggers who brought the liquor into the United States. Joe chose his partners as cannily as he chose his part of the business, one of them being Thomas McGinty, an Irish-American known as the King of Ohio Bootleggers. Joe brought the liquor to the middle of Lake Erie, and the boys picked it up, recalled McGinty's daughter, Patty McGinty Gallagher. McGinty had been a flyweight boxing champion, and he was a man armed with Irish blarney as well as a steel fist. He ran racetracks, managed the casino at the Hotel Nacional in Havana, and became a hidden owner of the mob-controlled Desert Inn in Las Vegas, all the time maintaining a relationship with the Kennedy family. His daughter Patty, in the bar in her home in Palm Beach, Florida, has a picture of her father and a smiling Jack Kennedy taken in Havana in the 1950s. Another witness to Joe's life as a bootlegger is Benedict Fitzgerald, an attorney.